Very great presentation.
I have a list here of 10 contradictions between the Bible and what Joseph Smith said. And I've used these through the years as I added on to. You know, it's hard to get them to give you a quad, you know, that has all four of their books. But when you have that, you have one book that contains definite contradictions that they love dearly. And, you know, the first one, I'm not going to read all 10 of these, but these are very helpful to me when the Mormons come knocking at my door. I like to have these handy. But they said, like, we, of course, the Bible, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Matthew 2 and 1. But in their book, Alma 7 and 10, Jesus was born in Jerusalem. And all 10 of these are just like that. It's just a direct contradiction. That has helped, although I have never baptized a Mormon, but it did help to stump them for a period of time and decide they need to go talk to somebody else to find the answers to these. There have been times that they've come back. They usually like to come back four or five times and have, you know, their weekly events and studies. And, oh, through the years, maybe two or three times I've endured all that. But one particular time that we did, I wrote up a test with 10 questions on it, and each one with these 10 points. And I gave each one and made them sit in separate rooms to take it. And then I said, it won't take you more than 15 minutes. And when they come back out, they differed among themselves on what they really thought. Some gave the Bible answer, some gave the Mormon answer. However, the fact is, the Book of Mormon contradicts the Bible in numerous places. So does the Doctrine of the Covenant, the Pearl of Great Price. And when we show the contradictions are very valid, very easy, with using their own material, that to me has been enough to set aside them as a group of religious people that's very dependable. They're not dependable. If anybody would like a copy of these, they're welcome to them. I have a very few, but I can make copies next door if I needed to. But I just wanted to make reference to that, that is additional information from what all you gave this afternoon.
And further note to that, he mentioned that it's not always easy to get them to give you a copy of all of their books, their translation of the scriptures and so on, but it's all available online. They make it available online. You can go to lds.org and you can access a fully searchable Book of Mormon, Pearl of Great Price, Doctrines and Covenants, and their translation of the scripture. And so it's all right there, easy to take. I will say, if you have a copy of the Book of Mormon, even if it's from 4 or 5 years ago, hang on to it. They're always collectible because the next time an issue comes out, it's very different from the last one. Even as recently as 2007, they made a radical change. I don't know here which one I have exactly, which issue that I have, but until 2007, the title page, which they believe is also inspired by the Holy Spirit, said that the Lamanites, those old Jews who they claim sailed to America, are the principal ancestors of the Native Americans. But then DNA was discovered, and they learned that Native Americans aren't Jews. They are related to Asian people, probably came here from Asia at some point. And so now they've changed, and they say that the Lamanites are among the relative or ancestors of Native Americans. That's a doctrinal change, really, on the title page, made as recently as 2007. Now, beyond that, if you go back to the first edition, this is a book I bought in Utah several years ago, 3,913 changes in the Book of Mormon that have been wrought since 1830 when the first edition was published. That's what this is, a photocopy of the first edition with all the various changes marked. And Joseph Felding Smith, who's one of the presidents, he said all the changes were grammatical. They were all punctuation and things like that, which really that wouldn't even be necessary if Joseph read it as God was translating it, but that's not true. Late in Joseph Smith's career, he changed his understanding of the Godhead. And in this edition, there are statements such as the everlasting God, that in later editions in our modern books of Mormon, it's the Son of the Everlasting God. That's a doctrinal change, where you first refer to one as the Everlasting God, then as the Son of the Everlasting God. Especially in the Mormon understanding of God, they don't believe in one God. They're polytheists or henotheists. I do know of Christians up in Kansas City who were converted out of Mormonism, at least the reorganized Mormon group. You know, Joseph Smith thought he was going to cure division, but they fractured a lot of ways themselves. Most of what I've discussed relates to the larger group, a Salt Lake City group. I have back home a copy of my great-grandfather DeFrance's baptismal certificate into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And some of you knew my grandpa Fred. He was raised in the Mormon Church and converted by E.H. Miller and Fred Kerbo. And here I stand before you today in the Lord's Church as a consequence of that. So don't give up on these people. Don't think that they are beyond reaching.
Thanks, Clint. That was very interesting. One of the things about the Mormons, you alluded to it, was their baptizing for the dead. And they're quite prolific at that. I was fascinated to learn that they've even done baptisms for the dead on behalf of past popes and of Holocaust victims. And that went on for a while until some of the Holocaust victim families found out about that. And then they sued them, and were going to take them to court. And then all of a sudden, it was supposed to be very important to do that, but they disqualified all of those baptisms. I thought that was interesting.
I would be interested to know if they really disqualified them, because Joseph Smith said for something like 14 years that he only had one wife when he had 42. The Mormon leaders are not above lying historically. I was supposed to talk about this question. One that was given to me on the sheet was, what is a Mormon tabernacle? I didn't put that in here in this lesson because it's a very short answer. A Mormon tabernacle is just a big church building. It's not the same as a temple. A temple is where they have those special ceremonies like eternal marriage and baptism for the dead. A tabernacle is just a big church building. And they quit building them in 1950. They don't even build them anymore. So, they sing in one of them, but that's all. Not very interesting, necessarily. You might not remember that part, so that's why I saved it for the Q&A.
You know, I understand that so many of the Mormons go back once a year to Salt Lake City. Well, the Mormons wanted to make it more convenient, and so they built 12 of them around the United States, and one of them is about 15 miles from here, right over here on the Northwest Highway.
The temples.
It's a big, beautiful building, and one of our members worked on that building, and he's a professional welder, and they gave him a staircase to build, and he built it exactly like they specified, and some of their wheels from Utah came out here and looked at it, and they said, you build it just exactly like we told you to, but said we want a better one. And so they made him tear it down and build one that was far, far more expensive.
They have a lot of money.
I have heard recently the Mormons are losing members. It's even in the news. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to get rid of Joseph Smith, as you told us. And they've even admitted they found a letter or something, information that he was married 40 times, which is not exactly correct, but it's plenty. Can we verify that?
Oh, yes. In fact, if you have a request for literature, the books I found the most helpful, this book here, Ashamed of Joseph, is published by College Press, actually. By a fellow named Charles Crane, who's a lifelong Mormon researcher. He's a professor at the University of Idaho, I believe. He's a member of the Independent Christian Church. And he documents all of that material, all of that damning material on Joseph Smith that has caused the Mormons to try to back away from him as much as possible. Today, as I said, it's hard to back away from the man who wrote the book that you preach out of. It would be like us waking up one day and saying, you know, we need to really get away from Jesus. We're still going to be Christians, but we're going to ignore Jesus and mention him only minimally. Of course, some people do that, don't they? But it comes up with something very bizarre. This book here, called In Their Own Words by Bill McKeever, is a collection of quotations. Several of the quotations that I had up on my PowerPoint presentation came out of this book, and very valuable in establishing what exactly Mormons do believe in some of their more unusual positions. Now, as Brother Jerry said, it is true. The Mormon church is a paradox. It is growing, and it is shrinking. It's like a revolving door, really. They baptize or proselyte a number of people. They're expanding and moving into different parts of the United States, but they're losing thousands and thousands of members every year for a lot of the reasons we've talked about today. These problems in the Book of Mormon are publicized. They're all over the internet. There's all these videos where you can go to YouTube and type in errors in the Book of Mormon. And I don't know how a man could survive Mormonism after watching two or three of those videos, because it just tears to shred the weakness of the volume. And that is causing a lot of people to leave. But really, the thing that is so impressive to me is the number of people who know all of these problems but still don't leave. I was listening to a fellow on a call-in radio program today. The radio program is against Mormonism. A man called in. He said, I love your show. I've been listening to it since it came on. I love the work you're doing. I'm a lifelong member of the Mormon church and a high priest. Now, the show was designed to discredit Mormon claims. Why did he stay in? Jerry Dickinson tells a story about a Mormon he worked with when he was a young boy. And they had religious discussions back and forth. And one day, according to Jerry, he just walloped him. Jerry walloped the Mormon, I mean. And just mopped the floor with him. He didn't have any response to what Jerry had said. He got mad and he was walking out of the room. And he stopped, he turned around, he said, if I left my church and came over into your church, what could you offer me? And Jerry said, the truth. But that wasn't enough for him. He turned and walked away. I think that's very significant. The reason most people stay in this religion is because of the emotional satisfaction that it gives, especially centered around the family. And that's why I focus the majority of my presentation on how to combat the Mormon teachings on the family and present that Christianity is a better alternative for your family. I think that that's really essential if you're going to convert people out of Mormonism. Well, I do appreciate the opportunity to do the study, and I hope that it was beneficial to all of you. Thank you very much.